Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 208 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on Revelations chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. This is going to be part 6. We've pretty much considered Revelations 2, verses 12, 13. And we've started on 14. So let's jump in. I'll read from verse 13 again, from verse 12 again. And again, I'm using the New Living Translation. So he says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was murdered among you there in Satan's city. Verse 14 says, but I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who taught Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols, and by committing sexual sin. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So what's the message for today in part 6? It's really because, you know, last time we talked about few complaints. So we talked about the first sentence in verse 14. But the second sentence contains a lot of stuff. It says, you tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who thought Balak out to trip up the people of Israel. You tolerate. That's the key word there. You tolerate. That's the problem that Jesus Christ had with the church. He said that they tolerated basically evil people. And, you know, maybe some backstory may be helpful here. Like, you know, who was Balaam? Balaam was a prophet in the Bible that wanted to line up his own pocket. And in the process of wanting to line up his own pocket, you know, he was basically a person that taught others how to be led astray, how to lead the Israelites astray. So basically, this is a prophet that you can say led people astray. It was a prophet that pretty much led people astray, right? Because Balak told Balaam, oh, curse the Israelites. And Balaam couldn't do it. So Balaam then told Balak that, see, you want the Israelites to be screwed over? What should you do? Well, basically, try to get them to commit sin. Because once they commit sin, then God will stop working with them, right? And that's a almost like a good side lesson. A person that's living in sin, God cannot help them. That's just the truth. He knew that as long as the Israelites were living in line with God's will, God will not destroy them. But once they started living outside of the will of God, you know, when they started committing sexual immorality, because, you know, Balaam, I think, essentially brought women to dance in front of the Israeli men. And, you know, they started committing sexual immorality. Then God sent out, I think, a plague amongst the Israelites. You can read about it in the Bible. I think it's called the Matter of Peor. P-E-O-R. The Matter of Peor. Just read up on it. We don't really have time to go into that today. But I think maybe like 20,000 or more Israelites perished because of that. Right? So basically, like, just leading people astray. Right? Leading people astray. And God... But the thing is, don't just focus on the leading people astray part. Ask yourself, like, what did God say? He says, you tolerate some among you. So the question I want to ask you then today is this. Who and what do you tolerate? Because the thing is, what is tolerance? Tolerance is just what you put up with. What you allow to flourish. What you allow to... essentially be the order of the day in your life and in your affairs. So what do you put up with? What do you allow? What do you get comfortable with? That's what you tolerate. What you tolerate. And the thing is, what you tolerate can many times spell what your destiny will look like. So what do you tolerate? And I feel like this verse is almost like a foretelling of what is going on in the church today. Because if you notice, I think many people think that, oh, these letters were written to unbelievers. No. These letters for the different churches in the book of Revelations were literally written to churches. They were literally written to churches. So here, you know, you could see these churches, where this church at least, that, you know, God was saying that, man, like, you tolerate XYZ that I don't like. So what do you tolerate? Because this is something that I think is extremely important in Christendom today. You see, many churches, they tolerate so many things that are outside of the will of the Lord. You know, because they're like, oh, we want to, and they do this for many reasons, right? They either don't want to attract the persecution of the world. They want to keep members, right? They're like, oh, I don't want to offend anyone. So because you don't want to offend anyone, you start tolerating things that are not good. Well, let me tell you this, brethren, that is not of God. That is not of God. That's why if you notice at the end of it, pretty much every of my podcasts, I say, oh, find a church, not just a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, and they don't preach things that are consistent with the Word of God, right? Or they tolerate things that are not consistent with the Word of God. Like, for example, you see churches that say that, oh, they're a church, and they support marriages that are not between a man and a woman. That's not how the Bible prescribes that marriage should be. That is just the truth. There's no point in coming here and whitewashing these things. The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the Bible's definition of marriage. Anything outside of this is not in line with Scripture. But you see many churches, because they don't want to offend anyone, they don't want to offend their members. They want to be in the good graces of everyone. So they just tolerate these things, right? And so all these things. So at the end of the day, you then wonder, okay, what's the difference between the world we live in and the church? If the church is pretty much tolerating all these worldly things, then you then ask yourself that, man, what's going on here? What's happening here? And again, honestly, it's really sad when you think about stuff like this. Right. So you see many churches where even the clergy are openly in support of marriage that is not between a man and a woman. Those things, those places, you should not be there. That's just the truth. They may call themselves a church, but it's not a Bible believing church by any stretch. The Bible clearly talks about these things. So if you're in a place that is honoring or tolerating things that are contrary to the will of the Lord, that's not a place you want to be. But the thing is, before just casting judgment on the churches, because that's the thing, like, as a child of God, you should behave just like your Father God behaves. And the Lord that we serve does not tolerate iniquity. You know, the Bible says that the God we serve does not behold iniquity. When Jesus took the sin of the whole world upon himself, the sin of mankind upon himself, he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? God literally left him because he was carrying sin on him, on himself, right? So if you're a church, if you go to a church, or a church is tolerating these sinful activities, God has left that place. They may call themselves God. I mean, they may call themselves like a church, but God has largely left that place. And I'm just going to make a comment here. The fact that you go to a place and you feel like you hear the music and you cry and you have this emotional reaction, that does not mean that the presence of God is there. That's the truth. Many people in many churches, what they get are emotional reactions. They don't really get anything the presence of God is not really there. If you go to any worldly music concert and it's a musician you really love, I'm going to tell you that you see people decry at these worldly concerts. So it's not something that's unique to the church. The fact that a person is crying and really feels something emotionally does not mean that the presence of God is there. That doesn't mean that the presence of God is there. So just FYI, just be careful about that. But the thing is, let's not just focus on the church. Let's focus on society, right? Like, you see, so society has over time, and then we're going to focus on the individual. I want to land on the individual. But you see, society focuses so hard on trying to, you know, tolerate, right? Society has tolerated more and more things, right? But look at over time how society has degenerated. Right? Look how society has degenerated. But the thing is, the big area that I'm really focusing on here is the church, right? The church has really tolerated a lot of things that are not scriptural. They're not scriptural. And the more we keep tolerating those things, basically, like, that's the work of the devil, right? The devil is just creeping into the church, right? By just trying to raise a church that is tolerant of sin, a church that's tolerant of evil. That was not the case in the early church. Right? Because many times when people read the Bible, they think that some of these miracles, some of these signs, some of these wonders that happen in the Bible are like fables. The thing is, these things are real works of the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And those things will happen if we truly seek the Lord in spirit and in truth. We do it right. We do it and we do it right, right? But the thing is, so much sin is now tolerated in the church that the presence of God is not in the church, right? Because if you notice, like, the early church, when Ananias and Sapphira lied, that lying, they received swift judgment, right? If you read that section of scripture, it pretty much says that, wow, that when the church, when people heard about what happened as a result of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, that, man, it really struck fear in people's hearts. People would respect God in those circumstances. And if you notice, the early church was dominated by a mighty move of God, by a mighty revival, because sin was not tolerated. But these days, you see people say, oh, love this, love that, love this, love that, love this, love that, right? And in doing that, you're pretty much tolerating things that are inconsistent with the word of God. I'm not saying that you should hate people. No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Jesus Christ literally sat with sinners, right? But the work of Jesus Christ was to turn those sinners over to God, right? That was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? So the thing is, your job is to, when you contact a sinner, is to show them the love of God and preach the message of salvation to them. Because whether you like it or not, if you're like, I don't want to offend them, you keep tolerating their sin. You're not helping them. That's the truth. It's almost like a parent that doesn't want to offend their kids. They don't want their children to be annoyed with them. So, which is what happens in many homes these days, believe it or not. They don't want their kids to get angry with them. So what do? The thing they do is that they pretty much tolerate evil in their homes. Right? You see their kids acting out, speaking to them with disdain, doing this, dressing like, you know, essentially like prostitutes, right? You see their boys doing crazy things at home. And the parents say nothing because they're like, it's just a phase or whatever. No, the thing is, when evil many times starts with tolerance, you tolerate that thing. And in that thing you tolerate, you know, you're like, it's just a phase, it's not a big deal. Over time, that thing that you tolerate, that you don't definitively deal with, will continue to grow. And ultimately cause problems. That is just the truth. That is literally just the truth, right? That thing will grow, and then in the end, it will cause problems, right? It will cause problems. The Bible says that, that every man, that sin, how does sin start, right? It starts when a person has a lust in their heart. I think you can read about this in the book of James, right? And then the Bible says that, that lust is enticed, right? And then when lust, grows, it brings forth sin. And then sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, right? Because have you noticed that If you tolerate something, if you're like, oh, okay, wow, something is tried once and you don't definitively like address it, it'll be tried again and again and again. And then after a while, that thing will become the order of the day. That thing will become the order of the day, right? So the church in many situations has just not, even in homes, you see parents just tolerating bad behavior from their kids, even at age 2, at age 3, right? They don't correct their kids. Again, you can correct in love, but you need to correct. You need to correct, right? But you see, parents, they don't want to apply any kind of discipline. The church does not want to apply any kind of discipline. So they tolerate things. But over time, those things that you tolerate, they'll continue to grow, continue to grow, continue to grow until they become a problem. That's the truth, right? So again, that's just something that you need to be careful about. And then look at your life as an individual. I said I'm going to land on the individual, right? What do you tolerate? What do you allow? What do you allow to get comfortable in your life? I'm telling you this. Those things that you allow to get comfortable in your life that are contrary to the will of the Lord will end up destroying you. That's the truth, right? Again, so don't, the Bible says that if your eye, again, this is a figurative statement. It's stated in the Bible, right? The Bible says if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. The Bible is not saying that you should literally cut out your eye. It's using it as a figurative expression. If you are cutting off something, that means you are completely disposing of that thing, right? So what are those things that you are tolerating in your life that you know that, man, this thing is not in line with scripture. This thing is not in line with the word of God. Are you tolerating those things? Are you saying, it's not a big deal. I'll repent of this tomorrow or next tomorrow, whatever. Let me tell you this. You're putting yourself in a very tough situation. You're putting yourself in a very, very tough spot. That is the absolute truth. Right? Because that thing you are tolerating, that may be the thing that will precisely prevent you from making it into heaven. Right? That will be the thing that precisely prevents you from making it into heaven. Right? So don't have any tolerance for evil. The Bible says, flee from every appearance. If something even just looks like evil, don't be around it. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate it. Right? If you're a parent in your home, don't tolerate those things. Because again, I'm telling you this. These things can mess you up. It can mess up your destiny. It can mess up the destiny of your children, right? So just don't tolerate evil, right? I'm not saying that, oh, you should hate people. No, that's not what I'm preaching in this podcast. I'm trying to make that very, very clear, right? But don't tolerate it, right? Don't tolerate it. Jesus Christ sat with sinners. Like, for example, the woman that was caught in adultery. You know, what did Jesus do? You know, Jesus spoke to her. He showed her love, right? But he told her that, see, go and sin no more. Right? Go and sin no more. But you see many times in churches these days, you know, we just tolerate evil. We just tolerate sin, right? And then even the true, pure, undiluted word of God is not really preached anymore. Today, all you hear about in churches, the prosperity gospel, you hear one thing or the other about prosperity, name it, claim it, and you'll receive it, this and that, right? But all these things like holiness, sanctification, working in the fear of the Lord. None of these things are preached, right? Because it's almost like the church these days has become intolerant of sound doctrine, but has become tolerant of unsound doctrine, right? So just be careful. What do you tolerate? That's kind of like the big message of today. What do you tolerate? What do you tolerate? Because I'm telling you, whatever you tolerate, whatever you get cozy with, whatever you get comfortable with, if it's evil, that thing will grow and destroy your life. It will grow. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief, that's referring to the devil, the thief cometh not, but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's ministry. The devil's ministry is to steal, take what you have from you, to kill, and to completely destroy. He wants to mess up your life, right? So if you are tolerating sin, because sin is of the devil, sin is of the devil. If you're tolerating sin, then that means you're tolerating the devil. And when you tolerate the devil will do what he's supposed to do in your life or in your church, right? So again, I'm just encouraging you today. If there is an area of your life, because again, I'm not gonna stand here and talk as a person that, oh, well, Divine is a perfect person. No, no, no. There are things that God is working through with me in my life, right? But I will encourage you, look at your life as I should look at my life. What are some things you are tolerating that you know are not in line with the will of the Lord? Deal with them now. Deal with them now. You know, and don't keep postponing dealing with these things. Because I'm telling you this, brethren, you cannot guarantee tomorrow. You cannot guarantee tomorrow. There are people that were alive at the beginning of this month, and right now, they are no more, right? There are people that were alive at the beginning of today, and right now, they are no more, right? So you cannot guarantee tomorrow. Deal with that thing today. Again, the Bible says, now is the time of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you will hear my voice, today, don't say tomorrow, make that change now. Make that change today, right? It's better to make that change now, better to make that change today, and not keep propagating in sin. Because again, that's not going to help your destiny. In fact, if you go down to verse 17 of this reading, again, we're going to focus on that later in this series. But it says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Understand what he's saying to the churches, right? So you need to listen to the Spirit, hear what he's saying to the churches, right? Hear what he's saying to you and make adjustments. Make that adjustment today. Start making that change today. Start trending the positive direction today. Because again, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Again, divine may be giving this podcast today. Even I cannot guarantee tomorrow. Even I cannot guarantee tomorrow. Who knows what will happen to me tomorrow, right? So you never know. You literally never know. So you want to go ahead and stop tolerating those things. Deal with it. What are those things? What are those weights? What are those easily besetting sins that are marinating in your life? Cut it off. Cut those things out. Cut those things out. Come out from those things and the Lord will help you and accept you. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you've been living a life that's tolerant of sin, if you've not even surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ at all, I want you to take this opportunity today. Because again, tomorrow it may be too late. Tomorrow, literally, it may be too late. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. Give me a brand new beginning. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Lord, I pray for myself and all those that have given their lives to you and, you know, all of us listening to this podcast, I pray that you give us the grace to continue to do your will. Is there anything that does not glorify your name that we are presently tolerating? Heavenly Father, we pray for the grace to completely cut these things off. Give us the grace to cut these things off. Give us the grace, Lord, to only tolerate those things that are in line with your will. In our thoughts, your word says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any victory, if there be any praise, think on these things. So Lord, these things that are in line with your will, let those be the things that we think about. Let those be the things that we say. Let those be the things that we live our lives based on. Those things that we live out in our day-to-day lives. But Lord, if there's anything that's not consistent with your will, give us the grace to drive it out. Drive it out from our lives by the fire of your Holy Spirit. But give us the grace, Lord, to make that decision, to propose in our hearts that we will not defile ourselves. You know, Daniel, the Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 that he proposed in his heart. Help us to propose in our hearts to do your will, to not defile ourselves, and let your name be glorified. Thank you for your word. We worship and exalt you, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And Lord, I pray that we are all covered in the blood, and I pray that our weeks are the week before us is blessed, and I pray that you give us the boldness and the courage to go out and do your will in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For those that said a prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, you need to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. 96 to 101 is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do to grow your walk with God. Number two, and the website is divineinterventionlifelessons.com. Divineinterventionlifelessons.com. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. For many people, the New Living Translation is pretty easily understandable. So read it, meditate on it, write down action steps for your life and follow those steps. You'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. Find a place that preaches the true, pure, undiluted word of God. You don't want to go to a place that preaches things that are inconsistent with scripture. You don't want to be there, right? Find a place that preaches the true, pure, undiluted word of God. Fellowship with other believers. Do the other things I said in step one and step two. And you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until episode 209, have a wonderful week ahead. God bless you. Shalom.